Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us later in the program at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and Predators with him. So looking forward to that coming up later in the program. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, we are inching closer to the NFL draft. As we mentioned, offseason about to get underway. The tag window opens up later this week. Combine around the corner, free agency, and then the draft mercifully getting here at the end of April in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The numbers are out on the FanDuel Sportsbook for a lot of different things as it relates to the draft. One of those things is the odds of who will select number one overall in the NFL draft. Now, obviously, the Titans, who currently hold that pick, are the favorites at minus 300. So there you go.
Congrats.
Can you name the team that Vegas has deemed the most likely to make a deal with the Tennessee Titans and to trade for the number one overall pick in this year's draft?
I mean, my guess, the fact that you're asking me means that it's probably not right, but my guess would be the Giants.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
It is a significant gap. So the Giants are plus 450 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to pick number one overall in the 2025 NFL draft. The next closest team is the Raiders at plus 1,000. So the Giants, heavily the favorite to be the team that trades for the number one overall pick with the Tennessee Titans. We know the Giants need a quarterback. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders stuff with them. One of the interesting parts of that is, like, what would it take if you're the Titans in order to do that deal? The Giants have the number three pick, so it's not like you'd be moving down very far in the draft. You know, we've seen some teams trade for the number one overall pick recently here and have given up a haul, right? So, I mean, I think, you know, one of the big examples was Chicago trading with Carolina. Now, Chicago, I think, moved from number nine to number one. So you're talking about a pretty big jump there, and that obviously was a franchise changer for both the Bears and Carolina in that deal there. So I believe in that deal, it was D.J. Moore was a part of it, the number nine pick, a second-round pick, a first-round pick in 2024, and a second-round pick in 2025. That's a pretty good haul there. Now, you're moving down two spots if you're the Titans, so you're not going to get that. So if you're moving down two spots, what would be an acceptable deal if you're the Titans in order for you to pull that off? Like, it's interesting to look at it. They've talked about wanting to pick up more top 100 picks. So obviously you'd get number three. Could you get, you know, a second round pick this year? Could you get a second and a third this year if you're the Titans from the Giants? Like, what would be an acceptable move to you if you're the Titans to execute this deal?
Yeah, well, certainly you need, I think, at least two top 100, you know, if you want to look at it that way, picks. You're not in the third this week, so or this week. You're not in the third this year, so is a second and third enough? You know, the thing about the Bears trade, not only the jump, but there is a difference also in, like, the player, right?
Yep.
When you're talking about everyone agrees upon someone they think everybody thinks can be like an all-time great player compared to do people think who we don't even know who the number one pick would be for sure of these quarterbacks. I mean, I assume they're not trading up to get Abdul Carter, you know?
Probably not.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably Cam Ward, I guess, but you know what I mean? It's like, if you're the Giants, you hope that maybe like the relative like malaise about these quarterbacks helps you. And I don't know that it necessarily does, but there is a difference. Like, okay, it's a number one pick to get a quarterback, but it's not the number one pick to get the quarterback that everybody in the league would love to have, you know? I don't know that that matters or not, but it's conversation back and forth. Is a second and a third enough? I'd to me, if I'm the Titans, I'd love to get a second, third, and then something from next year's draft.
Yeah, I would too.
Possible.
Jordan Rainin, who writes for ESPN.com, kind of put this out there a couple days ago. Like, what would it take for the Giants to move up and to grab the number one overall pick? And I'll just read kind of part of what he says in his piece here. It says, the Giants' first and second round picks provide similar or more value than the top big based on modern draft charts. If the Giants' third-round pick and perhaps a 2026 second-round pick might provide enough value if it's packaged with number three overall for the Titans to make such a move if they're not smitten with Ward or Sanders and wanted to further quarterback decision another year, that's likely what it's going to take for the Giants to make such a move. Number three overall and day two picks. Perhaps they could be asked to throw in another mid-round pick or future selection as well. If they're sold on either quarterback, that should not preclude them from making such a potential franchise-altering move. So he's talking about number three overall, a couple of day two picks there, and then maybe a pick next year in the mid-round as well.
Okay. Because someone, you know, the Texans, like, first, this year's first, obviously, you've swapped first, and then next year's first. And I would ask that. And then maybe what if it's next year's first and, like, a third this year?
Yeah.
Is that enough? It's not as many picks, but it's next year's first. Texter also mentions neighbors, which they're not going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, the whole – these trades, sometimes a veteran is involved, a player swaps involved. For the most part, though, they usually are just pick trades, you know? Which are very valuable in this league.
And again, you're talking about in this scenario with the Giants, you're moving down two spots, right? So it is different than somebody coming up from 12 to get to one. Like, it's going to take a whole lot more if somebody's doing that than it is for you to move down two spots there. Like, it just changes the value there. So, I mean, first off, the Giants would have no interest in trading Malik Nabers. Secondly, you're definitely not doing that if you're moving up two spots there. Besides, if you're going to get the quarterback, it'd probably be nice to have, you know, Malik Nabers for the young quarterback throw the ball to. That'd be my guess.
I would think so, yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Who do you think is the most likely option for the Titans to trade with if that option becomes available at number one overall? And what would it take for you to do it if you're the Titans? We'll take more of your thoughts on that. Lots to get to on our text line. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Papa Shot National Championship is on the television in our screen, in our studio, and we were both captivated by it. Papa Shot. They'll put anything on TV nowadays.
That was dominant. That was a dominant performance. I've always believed – I've had some good Papa Shot performances. I'm a bank off the back guy.
Yeah.
Just because you can kind of – I mean, really, it's almost like you just throw, you know, instead of actually shooting like a basketball. But that guy does not use the glass and just completely – why is he killing the guy? Like, they just switch sides and he's just blowing him out that way too. This is great radio.
Yeah.
You guys should check it out. It's on ESPN News right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff. 615-737-1025. The number one overall pick currently belonging to the Tennessee Titans. What would it take for you if you're the Titans to give that up, and which team is most likely? Now, the Giants obviously have been the most popular answer. Chip from Mount Juliet throws out the Jets and the Raiders as well. The Jets have made it official that they are moving on from Aaron Rodgers, so going to be interested to see what they do at quarterback. Could they... You know, do they fall in love with a Cam Ward, a Shedeur Sanders, and try to move up and put themselves in position that way? According to the odds on FanDuel Sportsbook, I mentioned the Giants are the favorite to trade up with the Titans. The Jets, I believe, are fifth. They're the fourth team on that list. So you got the Giants at one, the Raiders, the Browns, and then the Jets falling in behind that. So the Jets, the fourth most likely team, according to the odds there. Interested to see what they do. One texter said, if you're the Giants, I want next year's first and a fifth, plus this year's first and a third. So that would be a pick swap this year at number one, a third rounder this year, next year's first round pick, and next year's fifth round pick from the Giants.
That's a haul.
That's a lot.
So obviously you're swapping the first, but then you go next year's first, Yeah, I mean, it's quite a bit. I don't know that I care about, you know, getting a fifth, you know.
No.
But, I mean, if, you know, not that you can't do something with a fifth, but I do like the idea of the first next year. You know, I'm going to start there with the first next year. You know, the Giants, good chance they stink next year.
There's a decent chance.
You know, there's always a few teams, at least two, three teams every year that are way better than you think they're going to be. And maybe that could be them next year. But at this point, you'd feel pretty good about that being a high pick. I definitely think any sort of move down, it just makes sense for the Titans to, you know, get into the third round. I mean, look, if you can get in the second instead of the third, great, get in the second. You know, have 2 seconds, forget the third. But I feel like that first next year is something that you need to try to really push for.
But in this whole conversation, it comes back to kind of the same thing we're talking about with the Titans, right? Like, if the Titans aren't in love with either one of these quarterbacks at the top, is somebody else. And in love to the point where you move up to go get them. That's what's going to be interesting. Like, if we all know the Giants need a quarterback. You know, the Titans need a quarterback too. So if the Titans look at Ward and Sanders and they say, you know, we think they're okay, but we don't really love the idea of picking them at number one overall, and we're not totally convinced that they're franchise-changing quarterbacks. Do the Giants have a different evaluation of that? I mean, at the end of the day, all it takes is one. Like, you need one team to have that evaluation to move up. But, like, are these the guys, if you're the Giants, the Jets, the Browns, whoever, that you look at and say, yeah, we got to move heaven and earth to go get these guys at quarterback? And I'm still not totally convinced that we're going to see that.
No, but the things that are coming, you know, if you're the Titans, what you hope is you hope these quarterbacks light it up. I mean, I don't know. Is Shadur's not going to throw? Is that the thing at the combine? I mean, I don't know about like pro day stuff, but is Cam Ward going to go to the combine and just throw lasers all over the field, you know? And it's an interesting situation because if you're those quarterbacks, you know you're probably at the top of the draft, so a lot of agents now are just like, nah, let's just not even mess with it, right? But what you would love if you're the Titans is for like an Anthony Richardson-like combine to happen for somebody. Now, of course, then you could be also talked into it. You hope the interviews go amazingly well, all that stuff. I mean, you know, it comes down to it. If you talk yourself into it, then you have to know that you've got to give up a lot to get there. The Titans aren't just going to give it to you.
No, exactly. Like, if you talk yourself into it, you got to be prepared to pay the price. And again, like that price we just discussed of the pick swap and, you know, a couple of day two picks. If that's what it ended up being, like that's not a lot to ask if you're convinced that one of those guys is a franchise quarterback, right? Like the quarterback just makes it different. You know, I'm looking at the odds too. You know, what's the odds to go number one overall? Cam Ward is the favorite at -140, followed by Abdul Carter and then Travis Hunter. Shadur Sanders is fourth on that list. By the way, in the fifth best odds to go number one overall at +4,500 is Jackson Dart. So,
hey,
think of that.
He's also a quarterback.
He is a quarterback. But, you know, I look at that. Like, there's still a chance that the Titans get through this whole thing and they just say, you know what? Cam Ward, that's our guy. We're taking him number one overall and we're going to stick and pick, and that's the way you go. Like, if you're the Titans and you get through that process you just talked about with the combine and the interviews and all that, and you feel really strongly about it, then you probably aren't listening to a whole lot of those trade calls at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd be surprised if they – it's possible. Of course, and then, of course, we'll know. We'll know because then right after that we have free agency. So, yeah. I mean, I guess, again, there's some veterans they could sign. And
just bring in Rodgers to mentor Cam Ward.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Aaron, you're going to be the backup, but we want you to come in here and kind of show him the way a little bit in the film room.
What an exciting combination that would be. But, yeah, it's – I mean, I guess if you're a Titans, like, you have to have an open mind, right? I mean, at this point, I guess if you're a Titans fan, would you feel good or bad about the Titans knowing what they're going to do?
I think I'd feel okay about it at this point. Like, here's the thing with the Cam Ward part of it. If you know that you're not taking a quarterback, I'd probably feel okay with it. But you still have to meet with Cam Ward. You have to go through the interview process with all these guys. But again, I come back to what we talk about all the time. All that's great and all that's important. But the legwork and kind of like your basis of why you're making a decision to draft a quarterback or to not draft a quarterback, I think a lot of that right now should be done, right? Like, it's the film. It's the game film that you've seen them play at the college level. That, to me, remains the most important thing. Do you feel like they can play or do you not? Like, have they demonstrated to you that they can have the tools on game day to be a franchise-level quarterback? You know, all that other stuff, I'm not saying it's unimportant, the meetings, the combines, the interview processes, all that. But at the end of the day, like, the legwork of the film, I think, should largely be done by now if you're the Titans.
Yeah, I think the big thing that comes with all the conversations is conversations with the prospect, but also with coaches. So, okay, here on this play, here in, you know, tell me what was the call, what were you looking at, what were you thinking. The conversations with the college coaching staff and also with the prospect about the film can definitely change minds on the film to some extent.
Sure.
You know, and there's some stuff that you just don't know. And also you want to hear the prospect go through everything and talk it through. And if you're like, okay, there's a total understanding of this and, you know, this or that, whatever. I mean, there's all these extenuating circumstances you may not know about. But, yeah, I mean, the film speaks loudest. Jake in Greenbrier says, we're inevitably heading toward Ward flashing at the combine and 95% of the fan base back on the Ward train. He is my guy without a doubt if they stay at one. Yeah. I mean, that I could see it for sure. And, again, I hope he does. I mean, the combine already is absolutely just brain rot to me. But if we get to the point where no prospects are doing anything at the combine, like, I mean, there's only so many, like, you know, third round offensive guards who put up 225, 33 times. We all go goo goo about it, you know, that can carry the thing, man.
I can't wait for the interviews at the combine, like the media settings. It's like, hey, so which player would you most compare yourself to at the draft or in the NFL? Or, like, what's your goal at the combine this year? Or do you want to get bigger and stronger before you're drafted? What do you think about that?
No, the absolute – it's the people. These people need to be ushered out of the building. Have you met with the Jets? Have you met with the Raiders? Have you met with the Browns? Have you met with the Bears? And the
check
interviews.
Check it off the list. How many teams have you met with?
How'd that go? Good.
Hey, Shadour, did Deion Sanders call in the middle of your interview with every team, or was it just the Titans?
God, it's going to be amazing. Enjoy it, Carson.
I mean, we're going to have, like, the hall monitor this year, like, who stole the chips in the meeting room and who didn't? Like, who took them, who didn't?
Yeah.
Candy bars?
Well, we should have listened, you know. Levis taking the trail mix was an omen about his quarterback play.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the draft. We'll have the Rob rant coming up at 745. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con at the Nashville Fairgrounds coming up on March 1st and March the 2nd. Be calling number 5, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con coming up March 1st and March 2nd. A lot of things going on our text line right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Yeah, nice try, Big Joe.
A lot of different thoughts.
Big Joe got us last week. He got us as Beth in complaining about, but actually it worked out pretty well because it was mostly complaining about Kaharski, so that it got Kaharski going. So I don't feel so bad getting gotten by Big Joe with his latest fake name, but I have said some very mean things to Big Joe on the text line. And then I sent one accidentally to William from Dover. Thank you, William, for being understanding. My nasty comments are just meant for Big Joe, not for you.
Big Joe using the name of my Aunt Beth on the text line. Good stuff. Good pull from Big Joe.
He's digging deep here to try to get me.
It continues to work.
I think the next time he does it, I'm not kidding, I'm just going to tweet out his cell number. I know it by heart now. Yep. I know it, Big Joe. 6154. All right, I'll stop.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Keith says, although I don't want one of these quarterbacks, taking one of the two would at least give me a reason to watch the Titans and add some excitement. Another texter says, boy, is Cam Ward confirmed to be throwing at the combine? If not, the only thing you're going to learn is maybe height and weight. Will we get a hand size measurement? That's really the most important thing.
Yeah, hand size is important.
A lot of people worried about the hand size at the NFL combine.
Yep. Well,
I don't know if you heard, but Kenny Pickett had some small hands.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I have not heard about Cam Ward throwing. I know that there's been some talk. Shedeur Sanders has been asked about throwing, and it just didn't sound like he was going to. If I'm Shedeur Sanders and I'm his agent, I don't actually want to be compared to Cam Ward throwing the football at the combine, because Cam Ward has a bigger arm.
Yep.
Cam Ward has more quote unquote arm talent. Now, to me, arm talent, accuracy is more important than being able to, you know, throw it a million miles. No offense to Joe Milton. And I'm not saying Cam Ward's inaccurate. I'm just saying, like, I think Shedeur Sanders' arm talent is just fine. But I think Cam Ward, if you compared him side by side, he'd probably shine compared to Shedeur, I would guess.
Well, I just wonder, are we moving into a new stage with these quarterbacks where they don't test at the combine anymore? Not just quarterbacks, right? Like, you know, Marvin Harrison didn't do anything last year. Marvin Harrison Jr.
The very top.
Like, are we moving into a place where that becomes more of the norm? And are these guys, like, in that category? Like, is Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, are they in the category where they fit that mold?
Well, like, the top two. I mean, if you're the top at your position, then you don't want to lose that. They don't want anything to hurt you.
Right. Like, it makes
Jackson
sense.
Dart darn well better do everything. Milrow, Dart, all those other guys.
And Milrow is a guy that I think could help himself with the combine, right? Like, I think Milrow, we know when he runs the 40-yard dash, I mean, he's going to blaze it. Like, he's incredibly fast. How important is that at the quarterback position? I don't know, but
doesn't hurt.
It's gonna.
If you run a 4.4, it's not gonna hurt you.
It's gonna blow somebody away. You know, if he has a good workout at the combine, like Milrow's a guy where if he has a really good workout, could that be enough to get somebody to sneak up into the first round and take him? Right, like Richardson. Richardson clearly helped himself a ton with his workout at the combine. Now, it's not gone so well for him in terms of the actual games of the NFL, but clearly, you know, after having maybe the greatest combine workout we've seen at the quarterback position, that played a factor in him being drafted where he was drafted.
No doubt. Played a factor. Now, the thing on him, we got in this argument last week, but the thing on him, and if you remember, we talked about when I got back from the combine 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago?
Yep.
I was like, yeah, like talking to Dane Brugler and Nick Baumgartner, and they're like, the film's way better than you think on Richardson. It just is, you know? There's bad games, but the film is actually pretty complimentary. I'm like, oh, okay. Again, I saw him and play amazing football one game, so I saw him play on TV like some crappy games, but the film helped him. How much of it was each? I don't know, but to your point, yeah, the combine certainly helped him. Yeah, I hope we don't get to the point that first round picks are just like, well, I'm a first round pick, so I'm just not going to do it. But also, I don't care if we get to the point where no one wants to test, so we stop making the NFL freaking scouting combine like it's sports. That'd be okay. Like, big picture, we'll all complain, like, oh, get out there and compete, and I agree. But also, if they all stop and then this stops being an event and we can just have a draft, that'd be okay.
You don't want to watch the
We have basketball and hockey right now. It's great.
You don't want to watch the bench press?
Yeah.
The broad jump?
The shuttle. Yeah. It's a good one, man. Yeah. Sure. Triple jump.
I got one text that says, why not just get Hendon Hooker? Forget drafting. That's the Joe Rex Road playbook right there. Just go get Hendon Hooker.
Well, how are you going to get him? Why are the Detroit Lions letting him go? Hendon Hooker is a really interesting storyline because a lot of people freaked out when the Lions went and got Bridgewater from his high school coaching job and
pulled him off the sideline.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what that says. I don't think it necessarily means the Lions have given up on him. But I mean, at this point, they seem to be, you know, invested in him as potentially their future. But I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I do think at some point, if you're them, you got to make a decision on him in terms of what you're going to do with him. Like, Jared Goff's 30. So, like, Jared Goff, I don't think is going anywhere anytime. I mean, just signed a huge deal. He's a good quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. I don't think Jared Goff's going anywhere anytime soon. So, like, how long is Hendon Hooker going to sit there and be the backup? And then, like, probably the more important thing is, like, is there anything Hendon Hooker can do in the preseason or if he gets in a game or two next year with Detroit where some team looks at him and says, yeah, we'll give up significant draft capital to go get him.
Yeah.
Like, right now, what are you giving up to go get Hendon Hooker? You're probably not giving up a ton, right? Like,
to the point where
it's probably not going to be worth it if you're Detroit to make the move.
Right. Yeah, if you're a team that you count on your, you know, depend on your intel, yeah, there's going to be more film. Like, and it was pretty good, I thought, in the preseason last year. There'll be more film in that way. If you absolutely loved him coming out, but if anybody really, really loved him, then he wouldn't have gone where he went, right?
Exactly.
So, but again, there's also like the learning curve thing with Tennessee offense. So I could see someone being like, okay, at this point now he should be more ready for this. He's been in a great offense, great OC, learning behind. I mean, you could talk yourself into him too, but yeah, I don't think you're going to give up too much. The question is, like, what are the Lions, how attached to him are the Lions? You know, I really don't know.
Yeah, like, do the Lions view him as, all right, we're going to have a couple more years with Jared Goff, and then he's the starting quarterback after that? Because that, I mean, that's different. I mean, they might view him that way. I have no idea. I'm just saying Jared Goff's 30 years old. He's going to be playing football for a lot longer.
Yeah, he is. But also, if Goff, you know, if Goff falls off a little bit next year, like Tannehill did after his turnover fest in a playoff game for a team that was supposed to go to the Super Bowl, you know, I could see it flipping quick. Now, but then it just may be they may be looking elsewhere as opposed to inward and to Hooker. I'm going to stick with my belief that Hendon Hooker can be a good starting quarterback in this league until proven otherwise. I know a lot of people make fun of the whole thing. This was his rookie year. He was rehabbing his knee last year, but we'll see.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Our lives have been taken over by screens. You know, yesterday I saw a chart that somebody posted on Twitter when I was staring at my own screen, showing how the U.S. birth rate has declined by 20% since 2007. Well, guess what else happened in 2007? The first smartphone was released.
I'm calling the cops.
Oh, good. You mean the only number your phone has?
I just took a photo of your license plate. Your life is ruined.
Yeah, well, I just took a picture of your face, and now my phone is ruined.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Always love when Keezer gets amused by the packages that he puts together back there.
Yeah,
he's back there just laughing. Just
oh, having a good old time.
Good stuff. Joe, I feel like every time I go on vacation and or come back from vacation, there's a crowd-related rant that I come up with. You know, last time it was the people that just have the audacity to, like, cut line and stuff and to just pretend that their time and, you know, opportunity is more important than yours. So I yelled about that last year. I was stunned being around as many people as I've been around the last week at the Disney parks. How many people can't walk anymore without their heads just directly in the phone? I've determined that one of the big problems in our nation, and really our world right now, is the total lack of spatial awareness. I think a lot of problems begin with lack of spatial awareness. You know, you're walking along, and I realize that, you know, in this particular setting in a Disney park, they're big places. If you haven't been there a lot, it's very easy to get lost. So a lot of times you're looking on your phone for a map for places to go. So I get all that. A lot of that, though, a lot of what I experienced this past week wasn't that. It was people either on their phones, just twiddling their thumbs, scrolling, watching TikTok, whatever, and walking at the same time, or just stopping, coming to a complete stop in the middle and just sitting there on the phone, just sitting there, twiddling their thumbs, scrolling on Facebook while this is going. And I guess I thought to myself, it was an old man yelling at a cloud moment. Look, I'm as guilty as anybody when it comes to screen time. Like, you get your weekly screen time reports on your iPhone that come up, and it's embarrassing sometimes the amount of time per day that I like spend on my phone. So, like, I'm not absolving myself here. One thing I'm generally speaking pretty good about is when it's time to walk and time to move my body, the phone goes up, and you're able to walk and move and navigate without running into the side of everyone or coming to a complete stop. It was like, it's almost like zombie land. Like, just the amount of people walking with their head buried in their phone, not looking where they're going. And I think there are a lot of good things, Joe, that have happened because of the smartphone. Like, you can do a lot of things now. You can keep in touch with a lot of people. Like, you know, if you don't live in the same general area as your family, it can be really cool, or you can FaceTime people. And all that stuff's great. Largely, our society is falling apart at the seams because people can't navigate themselves anymore. It's unbelievable. Like, I was walking around. I looked at my wife at one point on this Disney trip and was just like, can no one walk anymore? Like, can you not put your phone down to just walk and move out of the way? It's crazy how addicted we are to this thing.
As you say, as you say this, probably planning to go to Cedar Point this summer. I got to make sure to take a snapshot of that. I mean, I've experienced that to a point, but I could see it getting worse. That's a great way to put it, like zombie land. And it's like, I mean, like, I walk the dogs, and a lot of times, yeah, as you know, I'm the only one who walks the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, Gus and Quinn, pooping, peeing in my house. But a lot of times I'll be in the neighborhood and I'll be like going through like email or going through Slack or whatever as I'm walking them. You know, so I guess I'm guilty too. But yeah, like if you're in a place like that, don't you want to get to the next thing? Going to the next thing. You put it away for whatever, 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how long are these? Well, I mean, sometimes you're taking a longer stroll, but again, you're always going somewhere, right?
Well, and there's like in a place like that, there's things to see, like away from your phone.
Right.
Like they have theming.
Yeah.
For the specific reason of, oh, cool, look at that, that's awesome. Look at that over there.
But instead you're just like.
But you're like on your ninth game of Tetris on your phone, and it's just, I don't for the life of me understand it. Now, you know, I'm a part of that generation where, like, my generation growing, I'm 32. So we were the generation that is kind of like the last one who had a significant period of our life without the smartphone. Like, we had a cell phone, and, you know, we could text and all that other stuff. But, like, the smartphone wasn't really a thing until I was, like, a senior in high school.
Yeah.
So I know what life was like before. We were just sticking our head in the sand all the time watching all this stuff. I will say, like, I was largely off my phone this past week other than, like, recording some stuff with a kid here and there. Like,
I
wasn't on Twitter at all, wasn't on Facebook. It was great. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, it was a nice mental reset to get away from all that stuff for a while. But, like, it's amazing how addicted every one of us are to our smartphone.
But, yeah, but it's like, if you are there in that moment, why is that the time to watch a show or play a video game or look at social media? If you get a notification, like a work email, okay.
Yeah.
Then why not go sit down on a bench, deal with that? And then, like, you know?
It's a big thing, like, it's with, like, the teenagers, too. That's another thing. Like, it's – the adults were bad about it this weekend. But, like, the teenagers, like, they can't walk without having the AirPods in and the phone out. It's like you can't walk from this restaurant over here to the ride that's 60 feet away without putting your AirPods in. It's like, what's going on around here? I know. I'm totally gone fully old man yelling.
No, but believe me, for me, I mean, it's a daily, like, oh, you guys, can we watch a show, or is it, we're not even able to watch a TV show together now. You guys can you put one in particular?
Yeah.
It has to be constant TikTok?
Yeah.
Constant, like, can you give your attention to anything? Please read a book.
Like, I do wonder, like, do we ever swing back the other way where it's like, yeah, this is all just too much. Let's just remove ourselves from this. I doubt it.
I mean,
like, we're there now.
Yeah,
so.
It's probably going to get us killed anyway. it's probably going to be the end of the world, so we won't. But whatever human race emerges from that, hopefully they will have, like, more control with smartphones.
I mean, the general sense of my the genesis of my friend's frustration with all this, like the amount of people that I just had to dodge this week because they had heads down in their phone. Like, I felt like I was in a dodgeball tournament at one point. I was like, can anybody look and see where they're going out here? What's going on?
That's insane. Yeah. So of those people, because you know, teenagers are teenagers. How many of those people were not teenagers?
Oh, a lot. A lot of adults. A lot of grown. 40-some-odd, 50-some-odd-year-old adults. Just head down in the phone. And again, like, I understand some of them probably looking at a map. A lot of them I know were not, because as I was dodging them, I saw that they were scrolling through TikTok. And I was like, put the TikTok down for half a second and get to where you're going. It's not that hard. Like, if you want to look at it in line for a ride,
yeah, of course.
Knock yourself
that's
out.
That's great for that. Yeah. Once you get to your thing, then you're just standing there. Great.
Yeah. It was just unbelievable this week. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us here in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans and the Nashville Predators as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.